Translation. I passed through hills and mountains full of reservoirs of various minerals like gold, silver, and copper, and through tracts of land with reservoirs of water filled with beautiful lotus flowers fit for the denizens of heaven, decorated with bewildered bees and singing birds. Next verse. Can hardly read the. I'll just read the translation. I then passed alone through many forests of rushes, bamboo, reeds, sharp grass, weeds, and caves, which were very difficult to go through alone. I visited deep, dark, and dangerously fearful forests, which were the play yards of snakes, owls, and jackals. Is this going on? Yeah. Purport. It is the duty of a mendicant, Parivrajaka Acharya, to experience all varieties of God's creation by traveling alone through all forests, hills, towns, villages, etc., to gain faith in God and strength of mind, as well as to enlighten the inhabitants with the message of God. A sannyasi is duty-bound to take all these risks without fear, and the most typical sannyasi of the present age is Lord Chaitanya, who traveled in the same manner through the central Indian jungles, enlightening even the tigers, bears, snakes, deer, elephants, and many other jungle animals. In this age of Kali, sannyas is forbidden for ordinary men. One who changes his dress to make propaganda is a different man from the original ideal sannyasi. One should, however, take the vow to stop social intercourse completely and devote life exclusively to the service of the Lord. The change of dress is only a formality. Lord Chaitanya did not accept the name of a sannyasi, and in this age of Kali, the so-called sannyasis should not change their former names, following in the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya. In this age, devotional service of hearing and repeating the holy glories of the Lord is strongly recommended, and one who takes the vow of renunciation of family life need not imitate the Parivrajaka Acharya like Narada or Lord Chaitanya, but may sit down at some holy place and devote his whole time and energy to hear and repeatedly chant the holy scriptures left by the great acharyas like the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. Om Jnana Timirandhasya Jnanam Jana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutaf Padagamalam Shri Guru Navaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Purujana Saitam Krishna Taitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Well, I must admit that in this purport there are various points in which I'm not sure exactly what point Prabhupada is making. It seems somewhat ambiguous. In this, Prabhupada writes, in this age of Kali, sannyas is forbidden for ordinary men. One who changes his dress to make propaganda is a different man from the original ideal sannyasi. In this age of Kali, sannyas is forbidden for ordinary men. This is stated in the verse from Brahma Vaivata Purana that was quoted by Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to the Qazi, the Muslim magistrate, to convince the magistrate that according to what the Qazi called the Hindu scriptures, that cow slaughter of any kind, even in sacrifice, is forbidden in the age of Kali. Ashvamedham gavalambhyam sannyasa palapaitrikam divarena sutotpatim kalopancha vivarjayet. Five things are to be given up in the age of Kali, namely horse sacrifice, cow sacrifice, acceptance of sannyas, offering meat as oblations to the forefathers, and begetting a child in the womb of one's brother's wife, which was sometimes allowed if the brother himself was incapable of producing a child. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur to justify his awarding sannyas when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu quoted a verse not or proscribing sannyas, stated that this Brahma Vaivarta Purana is a Rajasic Purana, Purana in the mode of passion, meant for karma, kandiya persons. So for such persons on that level, taking sannyas is not recommended. But however, taking sannyas to fully dedicate oneself in the service of the Lord is always required, as the Avanti Brahmana, as stated in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, is recorded as having stated, etang saasthaya paramanishtam adhihasitam purvatamayamahadbhi aham tarishyami durantaparam tamomukundangrina shivayaga. This verse was repeatedly chanted by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just after accepting the renounced order of life, and Prabhupada also taught it to his sannyasis to state on a regular basis that by taking shelter of the lotus feet of Mukunda, who is the awarder of liberation, I too shall certainly cross over this very difficult to cross ocean of nescience by taking full shelter at the lotus feet of Mukunda, Krishna. So, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in this vein recommended that sannyas should be taken if one is to achieve the perfection of life. Now, Prabhupada goes on, sannyas is forbidden for ordinary men. The one who changes his dress to make propaganda is a different man from the original ideal sannyasi. Now, I'm not sure here whether Prabhupada is referring to whether he's speaking disparagingly about those pseudo-sannyasis who make some kind of false propaganda by imitating the original sannyasis. But, or whether he's referring to those who accept the dress of sannyas, even though they may not be on the ideal level of the original sannyasis like Narad Muni, but they accept sannyas nevertheless for the sake of preaching. It could be understood either way, and maybe in other ways also. Then what else is in the... Lord Chaitanya did not accept the name of a sannyasi, and in this age of Kali, the so-called sannyasi should not change their former names, following in the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya. So, I'm also not sure whether Prabhupada's referring to like bogus sannyasis or genuine sannyasis. It's not very clear. Although the general gist of it is clear here, that how the sannyasi should dedicate himself to the service of Krishna. Prabhupada starts off the purport by talking about the Parivrajaka Acharya, whose duty it is to travel throughout all varieties of God's creation to alone to gain experience of the world and thus make his mind strong in taking shelter of Krishna, passing through jungles alone. Just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu described, there were bears, tigers, rhinos. So you have to have faith in Krishna, that Krishna is protecting me to do that. Trivikram Maharaj was alone in Taiwan, I believe it was, somewhere out there in the Far East, Japan or somewhere, as a young sannyasi. And he asked Prabhupada, he wrote to Prabhupada asking to send some association. Prabhupada wrote back that sannyasi, he doesn't need to take association. He takes shelter of the super soul. He should never feel himself alone. Although Prabhupada did send some men after that. And we find traditional sannyasis, by that I mean those of the Shankara, Madhva, Sri Vaishnava and other schools, for them it's practically a regulated principle that they should always be in association with brahmacharis or other sannyasis, usually brahmacharis of their mutt, and they don't go anywhere without brahmacharis associating with them and serving them and protecting them from when they come into the temple. The brahmacharis will clear the way, everyone, and that sort of sannyasi is coming for darshan. And so that they protecting other ways, so they don't necessarily have to, they don't have to have social intercourse with persons that would be not favorable for them to do so. So Prabhupada starts off the purport by talking about the duty of a genuine renunciant, but at the end of the purport he says that there's no need for sannyasis in the modern age to do that. They can sit in a holy place and simply study the books of the great acharyas, especially the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. Although we see practically Prabhupada, he wanted his sannyasis for preaching. That was the purpose of sannyas. Yogeshwar Prabhu reported that he had asked Prabhupada about sannyasis who fall down, because Prabhupada had given initiation to sannyasis who fall down. I'll just go off on a bit of a tangent about that. It was quite amazing how Prabhupada very liberally gave sannyas. That was described Paramahamsa and Parivrajakacharya Swamis. They just asked for sannyas. One of them was 19 years old, and they asked for sannyas, and Prabhupada just gave it. And how that this is described in Hayagriva Prabhu's book, that how a young man with very little experience in Krishna consciousness, how coming from a very sensuous kind of background, how they could be expected to maintain their vows throughout life, and they didn't maintain very long. Again, one of Prabhupada's servants, he was traveling with Prabhupada, and of course Prabhupada wouldn't stay very long in any place, but it was long enough for him to make trysts with the local brahmacharis, and he was falling down wherever he went. Prabhupada came to know and he gave him sannyas. Isn't that amazing? I think he lasted a week, something like that. So Prabhupada's giving of sannyas was quite amazing. There was a case of Sudama. He was doing dramas and acting and dancing. He was from a family that had trained him in that. And he was doing that with women. And he asked that, now Prabhupada, I took sannyas, how can I continue organizing these dance scenes in our dramas with so many women? And Prabhupada said, that is your sannyas. Difficult to understand. Once Prabhupada was asked by one Indian man, why are you giving such young men sannyas? Prabhupada said, well, the sabji is fresh, you have to cook it. Get it. By doing so, he was able to push the Krishna conscious movement forward, but there were many casualties. Like he declared full-scale war against Maya, and it's like you know, sending kids out to battle, but who else is there to fight? And kids as commander in chief, well, Prabhupada's commander in chief as general. They're prepared to fight. Okay. That is your qualification. You're ready to do so? Even though for many of them it may have been just some prestige or something like this. It may have been like that. But Prabhupada wanted to see the Krishna consciousness movement pushed forward, and He wrote that without sannyasis. Exactly what he wrote here, I can't remember. He said, sannyasis are required for preaching. That's what he wrote. Preaching sannyasis are required. Of course, real sannyasis, it's... At the present time, our movement needs, as I said, it needs many more sannyasis, because the number of siddhas, the number of devotees is increasing all over the world, but the number of sannyasis is not increasing much. There's hardly one or two here. I was at a sannyas initiation just a few weeks ago in Lithuania. I don't think any of you know that devotee. He only speaks Lithuanian and Russian. He's an older man, over 60 years old. Bhakti Sharan Shankar Goswami. So his duty is within Lithuania alone, but it's nice. It's sannyas. Go out. Well, for him, as I said in the sannyas initiation ceremony, I said that no one takes sannyas. It's for of course, that was the body's surprise when I said that. Then I explained that it's not just simply by formal induction one becomes a sannyasi, but one actually has to be living the life of a sannyasi before. It's not that you can just shift into sannyas gear so easily. One has to be actually living that life, and then the induction into sannyas will be a recognition of the life that he's already living and the consciousness that he's already in. That in that way, it's good to give sannyas. If we think that, well, I'll change my consciousness to sannyas consciousness after taking sannyas, it's not so easy. It doesn't happen very easily in the Vardashram system. It's recommended in general, brahmacharya, grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyas. What Prabhupada is mentioning here at the end of the Prabhupada, how the sannyasi can go and stay in the holy place and study the literatures of the great devotees, that sounds more analogous to vanaprastha life than to the full-fledged sannyas life. Anyway, sannyasis are needed. Oh, I didn't tell about that Yogeshwar. He was asking something about sannyasis falling down. Prabhupada said yes, and later on they can be reinstated. And Yogeshwar said, well, won't that create too much of a disturbance? And Prabhupada said, what does it matter as long as the preaching goes on? Quite an amazing statement. So actually, sannyas, brahmacharya, grihastha, whatever. In these are all extrinsic to Krishna consciousness. They're not of the essence of Krishna consciousness. They're divisions within human society based upon the spiritual activities of the individual. So that may change. Of course, it's not proper that after taking sannyas, one falls down, but it's not that one's bad from devotional service if he does so. It's not good if a grihastha falls down. It's not good if anyone falls down. But especially if a sannyasi falls down, it makes a big boom all over the Vaishnava world. If a brahmachari decides to get married, it's not such a big thing. But one of our sannyasis recently, he was lecturing on this in Czech Republic. He's saying that, but the unseen fall down is that of the grihasthas. He's an ex-grihastha himself. So he was lecturing on the unseen fall down of grihasthas. So meaning the indulgence in sex life, not simply kama viruddho bhuteshu kamosmi bharatarshava. Dharma viruddho bhuteshu kamosmi bharatarshava. Lord Krishna says, and that sex life, which is not contrary to religious principles, but according to our ex-householder sannyasi, there's plenty of fall down in the grihastha ashram. Anyway, the point is, sannyasi, he should be very strong and very much dedicated to Krishna's service. We have the system in ISKCON that was approved by Srila Prabhupada of a waiting list for sannyas, that you can't just walk in and say, I want to take sannyas. Okay, take it immediately. So there's some time to see if one is ready. And I don't know about now, when they made the age for taking sannyas much later, but previously it was that many, if not most, were put on the sannyas list, whether it's a 2-year list or 5-year list or whatever. They didn't eventually take sannyas. Many of them got married at that point, actually, when they put on the sannyas list, because they were faced with it. Really? You really want to be a sannyasi? You're ready for that? And they made them really look at themselves and think, well, maybe I'm not ready for that. Maybe I should get married. One devotee, Pragosh Prabhu. Our godfather, Pragosh, not present GBC member. He was told that without his knowledge, as when he was a brahmachari, without his knowledge, he'd been put on the sannyas list, and he told his GBC that, no, I'm not ready for this. I want to get married, he told. I don't want to take sannyas. I'm not ready for that. So he's a very wonderful devotee, one of very effulgent and effervescent, bubbling over with Krishna consciousness, one of the best book distributors in our movement in terms of number distributed, and the way he distributes, you could say, is quality distribution, or say, preaches to people. He's quite an amazing preacher, very, very bubbling with Krishna consciousness, but he told him, it's not for me. It's not such an easy thing. So actually our movement needs many more sannyasis to go around the different centers and encourage and enliven the devotees. But a rubber stamp doesn't make anyone into a sannyasi, that one actually has to be prepared for that. And the grihastha, he should prepare himself for that also. That in due course of time, I should renounce the home. Even if it may be, in many cases, this is also approved by Srila Prabhupada, at least he's quoting from Bhaktivinoda Thakur on this point, that when the years are going on and one has fulfilled one's material responsibilities, then he should retire and may do so with his wife. That Bhaktivinoda Thakur recommended that the best position for older householders is vanaprastha rather than sannyas, and they can live with their wife, as Prabhupada suggests here, in a holy place and continuously chant the holy names of the Lord and hear about the holy names of the Lord. So this is more akin to vanaprastha life than sannyas life. Though Prabhupada was interested, as he said, we are not interested in the Babaji class. So Prabhupada is more interested in giving sannyas for the sake of preaching. That's one of the one of the questions in the question and answer paper that comes when someone is applying to take sannyas, that, well, how do you, what will your preaching be? How will it increase your preaching? How will it that help your preaching? And in many ways, in the Western world, as far as, in almost always, as far as preaching among the public is concerned, doesn't make any difference what ashram one's in, because they don't know anything about all these things. But for preaching among the devotees and for preaching among the public in India, where they have some idea of what a sannyasi is, then it's advantageous to accept the sannyas order of life. So, Hare Krishna. I finished there. Is there any question or comment? Ready for sannyas, Miles? The optimum age for accepting sannyas, at what appears to be considered optimum age in the present ISKCON setup, is age 50 or older. Because by that time one should be, the kid should be grown up, or it's considered that one should have been mature in Krishna consciousness if one's been practicing for many years. I'd like to see quite a few more younger men being given sannyas. If they have to see if they're good and they're strong, they can do a lot of work. Whereas an old man, how much can he do?
I remember what I was going to ask now.
Mm.
About sannyasis. And just, you know, the verse you read, that they should, you know, go here and there and not depend on anything. And it seems, you know, particularly in industrial Western countries and perhaps a lot of other countries, that's, in one sense, you know, maybe that's it seems very difficult to accomplish. Like, you know, you just can't go to a river and drink it without getting mercury poisoning. You know what I mean? And you know, especially in the West, the culture is, you know, people aren't generally accommodating. You know, they don't even know what a sannyasi is. So, you know, I know there was one sannyasi I was talking with not long ago, and he was just talking about how, you know, he's been going out, he's been preaching in North America, and he's got his little, you know, van or something, and you know, I mean, it's, you know, he's able to kind of like take care of himself, but, you know, kind of like, I guess, you know, anything on top of that, he's being asked to do some other service. Mm-hmm. Someone gives, you know, especially donate money. He says he just can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess my question is about considering that you said sannyas is an external thing, you know, it's part of the ashram system. Can we increase the number of sannyasis, and, you know, without increasing also the social support for such an institution?
Well, if he still has kids, then they'll need some kind of support, isn't it? They're not grown up. What are you referring to, actually?
Hmm?
If he still has children who are not grown up, that's not recommended, though, in
no,
general.
No, I was actually referring to being hit with a, you know, having to donate toward the Gurukul abuse case.
Oh, so where does this question fit in?
Well, the question was at the end, really. I was just kind of like mentioning the, you know, can we, considering that sannyas is a part of the society, you know, it's a part of any society, can we reasonably increase the number of sannyasis without also simultaneously increasing the society that goes with it?
Well, there's no harm if we increase the society that goes with it.
Right, but I'm just saying, you know, can we do it without increasing the society that goes with it? I mean, isn't it something that...
Well, the point that I see is that there's not much training for accepting that, or encouragement to do so. And if that was there, then maybe some good, capable men, they could make that move. It's not 100% required, but it would, I mean, just like myself, I'm invited to go to far more places than I can possibly visit. And I'm not even, you know, one of the top ranking, top pulls. So,
I mean, for example, it's like this place. It's, you know, it's very, you know, I mean, it's just very kind of you to, you know, come and visit us here. But just the fact that we're not a watering hole, like a big watering hole, we don't get so many people through here.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. Our movement needs more sannyasis. There are many places where devotees hardly ever go. Some place in Russia, we have so many centers there.
It seems like they're making it more difficult in Eastern for anybody to take sannyas.
They are, yeah, because of all the sannyas fall downs, I suppose.
Like the ISKCON equivalent of Enron.
What does that mean? Enron was a collapsed company?
Yeah, it was a big energy company. It was so big that its collapse, you know, forced debate and inquiries in the National Senate, Congress here.
They changed the whole law because of that company. They have a new
I see, that's what you mean. They changed the law because of that. Yeah.
More restrictive, more restrictions necessary. I mean, it's harder to do business. And of course, you know, restrictions on business means that that's a restriction on the economy.
Mm.
You know, the love and trust isn't there anymore.
Mm. Manikdar Prabhu was telling me that he met a man in his home, Swedish man, and he was an old man, he said he'd been practicing as a lawyer all his life. Or was it a land estate agent or something? He said when he started that they'd make a deal and the two men would shake their hands. And that was, when they shook hands, that means the deal was closed. And there was no need of any paperwork because they both agreed and that was it, they shook hands. But nowadays, if you don't bring in a lawyer and have paperwork, which much increases the price, then definitely that one person is going to cheat the other. They can't imagine doing any land deal without a lawyer. That's a bit off the subject, but as you brought up that point, that no one can trust anyone.
And the consequences, it's just, you know, it is an impediment. You know, whatever.
The culture that we're coming from.
Yeah. The culture they're coming from and the consequence.
Yeah. It's that we come from an irresponsible culture. Culture of irresponsibility would be more accurate. And whimsical, people don't care, so they can just give up. They can just give up their marriage, they can just give up their initiation vows, they can just give up sannyas just like this.
Do you see any difference between, say, you know, the generation of the Summer of Love and like subsequent generations?
I'm not that much tuned into the West, so it's difficult for me to say. I can see a difference in the young generation in India now and the previous generation. Okay, we'll finish there. Is that all right? Hare Krishna. Oh, Christ, Srila Prabhupada.